Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are thrilled to have you join us today to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, Pastor Salem, urged those around him to open their hearts to Jesus, to put their faith in the Lord Jesus, and to be a part of his kingdom. Thank you for your recent notes to us. An online viewer from South Carolina wrote, "I know it was no accident that I was led to see Pastor Salem one Sunday in my area. I was truly blessed by his genuine love for Jesus." Another viewer from Illinois wrote, "I know that Pastor Salem went to be with the Lord. I still get educated with his sermons. Pastor had a special gift to enable understanding. His true love is seen when he preaches the gospel." Dad's message today, titled "Guard That Soul," speaks to our most precious possession. We hope you will be nurtured by today's service. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by. We're always happy to come, and we just want to thank you for opening up your homes. And we're all going to, all around the world, gather around the throne of grace and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at Psalm 31, where the psalmist writes, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength." Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Heavenly Father yourself. We thank you that in the time of distress and trouble, you are always there, and that you've taken us out of the miry pit and put us, established our feet on that solid rock. We thank you for that rock that is Jesus Christ, the rock that stands forever. So bless us in this service and honor your name. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has a beautiful song. He's going to sing "Rock of Ages." Hank Balker, God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself in thee.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you, and the Rock of Ages never changes. You know, we live in a world that, as the poet put it, change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he's always the same. He will never change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Hank. That's just beautiful. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We just love getting letters from you. Sometimes we'll get maybe a couple hundred in a day. We read every one of them and check everyone. And if you have a question, we try to answer that. And so we like to share some of the letters. People write and say, oh, we like to hear where people are and what they're going through. And so we're going to share some of the letters today. Well, our first one comes from St. Paul, Minnesota. And this person writes, I love listening to you explain about Jesus and teaching from the Bible. You have led me on my journey in getting closer to God and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Well, you know why that happened? Because we preach the Bible. It isn't in my wisdom because I have very little wisdom. But the Bible, that when we preach from the Bible, I tell young pastors, preach the Bible, then you can preach with authority. You can say, thus saith the Lord. You don't need to say, I hope so, I think so. It'd be nice if and so on, all that. Just say, this is what God says, period. And we had an old seminary professor, and he says, remember this, Harold. When God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. Don't you ever question God. God bless him. So wonderful to preach the word, and that's where the power comes. Here's a letter, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. I'm so glad to be blessed to be able to give. This world needs to hear the services. Bless you for going forward. Here she says, it's blessed to be able to give. And so we live on your gifts. We have to go by your gifts. And I'll talk about that in a little bit and give an address. And we just want to thank you for your gifts. And we should give joyfully. But if you can't give joyfully, God will accept money from a grouch. So get your money ready. Here's Scottsville, Michigan. Thank you and God bless you for your help in restoring my faith and love of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll be doing God's work for many years to come. Well, now here's what it says, restoring my faith and love of Jesus Christ. You know how that happens? That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and brings joy to our heart, joy to our life, and it draws us closer to Jesus. It's all in the Bible. If we didn't have the Bible, we'd be wasting our time. That's where the blessings come from, the Bible. And I just want to say this too. We have a little book, paper that we put out every month. It's called The New Song, and it's a Bible study. And this little Bible study is something that'll help you grow in grace and look at some of the promises of God, the blessings of God. It's called The New Song, The New Song. When I give the address, I'll give it when I get done with the letters here. You write and say, like the new song, like to have the new song. It's free and postpaid. We ought to charge for it. It's so valuable. But we're good-hearted people, so we'll keep going till we go broke, and then we'll quit going, I guess. But God always provides. He always carries us through. Now, here's a letter, La Crosse, Wisconsin. This is from prison, a women's prison. And I tell you, we hear from so many in prison, and we're so thankful to God we can minister to them. And this is what this lady writes in this prison. I've watched your service today, and I was truly set to tears. I've been saved for a little over 2 years. March 12, 2014 is my saved date. For some reason, my heroin addiction continues to overpower me. I want to live a sober life. I guess you could say I'm writing in hopes of some words of encouragement to see if you could send me a Bible and I would claim as my own. Please and thank you. God bless you, and may he be with you in the day and this day and out. Sincerely, your daughter in faith. Here's a lady in prison, and she's asking for a Bible. We send a Bible free and postpaid, and it's a special Bible because it has where you can find the way of salvation, or if you're discouraged, or if you're in trouble, or if you're lonely. It's got a lot of helps, and it's a special Bible. And we send these out all the time, free and postpaid. And we do it because you give. We have people write in, say, I don't want anything. I just want to help you in your work. And that's what we go by. And so we're just thankful for that. And she says here she has trouble with this addiction. And we have a special booklet that we have. And it tells how you can overcome addiction to something. It doesn't matter what it is, drugs or alcohol or whatever. And it's got some good ideas and scriptures and helps. We send that free and postpaid. And so when you give, you're helping us carry on that ministry. And we couldn't do it without you. And so you need to consider good liberal giving to help us in our work. Here's Las Vegas, Nevada. I watch your TV broadcast, The Christian Worship Hour, every Saturday morning. I enjoy your program so much. There's a lot of loud music, jumping, shouting, and running back and forth. Only good old-fashioned teaching of God's Word from the Holy Bible. Thank you so much. Well, I'm not one of those guys jumping around and running around. Like somebody says, you could nail his shoes to the floor and it wouldn't make any difference. And the TV, they just set the camera and then they go off and have coffee or something. I don't know what they do. And then they come and shut it off when I'm done. But we're not getting into all of this wild stuff. Just preach the Bible. Just teach the Word of God. God will do the rest. Well, here's Wakini, Kansas. Thanks so much for your sermons on the blessings of death. It really lifted my spirit, as we all must face it someday and therefore have no fear if we believe. I've watched your sermons for almost 10 years. What a blessing for me. Keep on preaching. You aren't old. God bless you. Well, I wish you'd maybe tell my bones that I'm not old, and my knees and my ankles, but praise the Lord, in spirit we're not old. We're young and alive and vigorous and happy because the living spirit of the living God is in every believer. And old age doesn't stop a thing. It slows us down, some of those things, but it doesn't touch the spirit. Spirit only gets stronger. Body gets weaker. Spirit gets stronger. That's God's way. Praise the Lord. Here's another one from the prison. And this one is Kansas City, Missouri. Dear Christian Worship Hour, I said the sinner's prayer with Pastor over TV. He said, ask for the salvation booklet. Please send me one. I prayed that prayer with him. Please remember me and my dad in prayer. I got 2 years prison time. Well, that's all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. And what I told this man and what he did, and you just pray and say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner and I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll live for you the best I can. And then thank Jesus for that. And then tell somebody. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, you are born again. You're born from above. You were regenerated. All of those things happen the minute you accept Jesus. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes a vile person and makes them clean and white and puts them in the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It takes place when you accept Jesus. And here's a man in prison, and we've sent him information, and we always answer all their letters, help them every way we can. One more I want to share with you, and I just love this letter. This comes from Fargo, North Dakota. Just listen to this. And while I read it, just remember you had a part in this. This is a lady. She writes, thank you for such a good program. Ever since I found your program on the TV, I've watched if I'm not working. Your preaching is so real that sometimes when I watch your program, I cry. I've asked Jesus into my life, and I am a changed person. It has been a great experience. You have changed my thinking about life. Please continue to pray for me and my family. Keep up the good work, and your staff also. I'm going to tell you, friends, if that doesn't touch your heart, you got a long ways to go. You better get to God. You got a hard heart. And I want to say this. Your gifts made this possible. And we have no other income but the people that write in, God's people. And so you need to be praying about it. And you need to, I'll tell you where to write. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can send a gift on the internet. It's christianworshiphour.com. And then you get on there and it says someplace there, say, donate. Just punch that or whatever you do to it. And then it'll say a gift. And you can put on any amount you want. It's under PayPal. And then you can send it from any part of the world. We get money from all over the world. And it comes in American money so that we can use it to pay our bills. And you'll say, oh, I don't know. I'm sending money off to that guy, and I don't know what he's doing. He's probably got a big old Cadillac or a GMC. Oh, no, not GMC. I don't know. He's got a fancy car, and he's probably got a boat and two houses and all that. Well, if you want to know how much I got, what you do is you get call in or just get on the internet or check with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check on every penny we get, and not only what we get, but how we spend it. And they audit our books, and we're as clean as a hound's tooth, and we don't take second place to anybody. We're as clear as a bell, and you can have financial statements, anything you want, except the money. We won't send your money back. Because once you give it to the Lord, you know, then we don't have authority to give it back. Sorry about that. But anyway, we need to have your help. Now, if you want to get our little new song, be sure just put new song. We have a beautiful pamphlet on salvation, and that is, can you lose your salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. Once saved, always saved. So I don't believe that. Get our book and read it, and then you tell me where it's off base, and we'll just have a good time together because that's what God says. He says, I hold them in my hands, they'll never perish. When he says they'll never perish, that's what he means. And so we're just looking to you for your help. So we're asking you now, you pray. Jan's going to play for you. And you ask God, what do you want me to do? Should I help this work? Is this something you want help? And then if God says, yes, I want you to give, you say, how much? And then he'll tell you, and you'll catch your breath maybe. He'll say, oh, that much? But I don't know what he'll say, but you know, and then you send it to us. So I'm going to pray. Then Jan's going to play. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and always appreciate Jan's contribution to our service. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 today, and so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the third verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters who are part of the persecuted church in Pakistan. Every week we pray for a different country, brothers and sisters in a different country, many of them giving their lives. There's more people gave their life to Christ, died for the faith last year, 2015, than any time in the history of keeping records of martyrdoms. And so it's increasing. The devil's picking up all and fighting every way he can because he knows his time is short. So we pray for Pakistan. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that we have in him. And we don't have any idea of all that we have in the wonderful Savior. But we know enough now to know that we have peace and we have joy and we have the forgiveness of sins and we have the knowledge that you are with us even in death and that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. And oh, we thank you for Jesus, beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And help us to love him more and help us to trust him more and help us to be faithful in our serving, in our praying, in our giving, in our whatever way it should be, whatever you're talking to us. Lord, we love you. And now we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. We know that some of them are giving their lives. They're dying for you. And Lord, for those who die, we rejoice because they're in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown. But we pray for those that are left behind, who have to struggle, have to sorrow, who have to face persecution day by day. And oh, we just wish it wasn't so, but you told us it would be this way. And sure enough, just as you said, we're suffering for you. And now we aren't in America, aren't suffering. We think we are, but we aren't. And we just pray for those who are right where the rubber meets the road, where they're face to face and feel the breath of the devil. Help them and give them courage and strength. Now bless us in this service, Lord. May everything we do and say and sing be to your honor and your glory, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song. I know you're going to like it. Master of the Sea. God bless you, Barb.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows roll. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. Out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. Master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, then he can calm life's troubled sea. Oh, as he did in days of old, and as upon life's sea you sail, why don't you trust in him who's never ever failed? I'm so glad he sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. Out his hand, billows cease at his command. Wind and waves may obey his will. When he says to them, be still, what man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea.
Well, God bless you, Barb. And while she was singing that, I was thinking, isn't that like life, and we're all in a turmoil and nothing is right and we're all discouraged and we don't know which way to turn, and then we take Jesus in our heart and he says, peace, be still. Just settle that heart, just like he did those waves of the sea, and he gives us peace and joy. And we may live in a world that is in turmoil and problems and troubles on every side, but when we have Jesus, we have peace in the middle of the storm. Praise God for Jesus. Well, I want to talk about your most precious possession today. And if I were to ask you what your most precious possession would be, and to write it down, what would you write? Well, maybe your husband, your wife, your child, your sweetheart, your mother, your dad, who knows what. Or it might be that you write down your stocks and your bonds and your bank account. Or maybe you could talk about your health, and that's the most important thing to you. Or your education and all those degrees you got. My, those degrees, are they ever wonderful. Had an old professor used to say a doctor's degree is like the kink in a pig's tail. He says it looks awful nice, but it doesn't add an ounce of pork. And some, we've got a lot of people running around degrees, don't know up from down. Maybe it's your experience you've had. Maybe you've things you've lost in life. It's some of these things, you write them all down. Now, Peter says, if you've got this for your thoughts, if you've got any of these things put down, your money and your stocks and whatever, he says, Peter wants to change your mind. And so St. Peter writes and says in 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter talks about the person's most precious possession. The most wonderful, precious thing you have is your soul. I want to say three things about the soul today. First of all, what is the soul? What do we mean when we talk about the soul? And then what has happened to the soul? And the third thing, how Jesus seeks and wants your soul. So let's look at the soul. How many of, in many ways, the soul is really too great to define. It's something that we really don't comprehend. It is a gift from God. It's a divine thing that God gave us. And so this soul is it's the soul that put Jesus on the cross. It's a soul that nailed him. It's the value of the soul that brought all of these things into the life of Christ. In other words, this soul we have is of supreme importance to Jesus Christ. He gave up his place in glory for your soul. He came down to this sin-cursed earth for your soul. He was born among men for your soul. He has fashioned himself as a man and then became a servant for your soul. And as a servant, he went to the cross for your soul. And so you say, what is the value of the soul? What is it worth? Well, this means it's worth the coming forth of the Son of God and his great sacrifice on the cross. That's how much the soul is worth. You see, the soul, when you stop to think of it, the soul is not a part of our body. It's not a part of our body. It just lives in our body. Our body is the house, and the soul is not a part of the body in any way. And absolutely the greatest thing a man he can ever look at, and that is that it is something that is different from the body and lives in the body but is not part of the body. The clearest definition of a soul is found in Luke's rendering of the great question Jesus put about the soul. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself?" And lose himself. There you have the definition of a soul. It is myself. It is me. That's my soul. And that soul is the part that hopes. And it's the part that aspires and suffers and prays and loves and is tempted and sins and repents and is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at it any way and give it any test you want. I'm telling you, friend of mine, that soul is the most precious thing that you have away and afar off. For instance, look at it as subtraction. Say that you look at you as a person with your spirit and soul and your body, and you take away your soul, the spiritual part, that spiritual part you take away from your body, that spirit, that soul. And what is left? A cold clod of clay. That's all that's left. It is a corpse. It is a body. It has a little iron. It has a little lime. It has a little water. It has a little sulfur. Has a little gluten. Has a little salt. And a few other tiny ingredients. And when you add it all up, when I went to school, it was worth 98 cents. Now with inflation, I suppose it's worth a dollar now. Oh, well, I'll be a lot more than that. But it isn't worth much. See, it isn't worth even sneezing at. Now you take that body and you add that soul to it. And you put that spirit in that soul. And as a matter, and God gives us our soul. At the time of our conception, we receive a soul. It's given to us by God. It came from God. And it should go back to God, but that's your choice where it's going to go. And so this soul, it's the element, it's the spiritual, and there you have something that is worth a lot. For instance, it's worth the price that has been paid for it. So what has it been paid for, our soul? Well, it says in the scriptures, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And what is that price? Paul says, writes and says, we're not born with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So there you have the value of the soul. It's worth the blood of the Son of God. That's how much it's worth. And there isn't any way to measure it. And it's in your body and you have it. So it's easily, clearly seen. The value of the soul is the price that has been paid for it. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But something happened to that soul. I'll tell you what it is. man had a fall. That fall was shown on every hand. Wherever you see the you go, you see the results of that fall. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden and we fell with him, you can look at either ancient history or modern history and you'll see man as a fallen, debased being. Look at the state of the world today, almost unbelievable in its wickedness, its cruelty, its immorality, its bitterness, its hatred toward God. That's what we ended up with. George Bernard Shaw, who carried no brief for the things of God, nevertheless, he points this out by saying, Bernard Shaw, in his book, Back to Methuselah, puts these words in the mouth of one of his characters. This character says, "You might as well take me to the foot of Snowdon," and that's a mountain in Wales. "You might as well take me to the foot of Wales and of Snowdon and say to me, 'Where is the mountain?' as to look at the world and say, 'Where is the fall?' The fall is everywhere." And it's in that old nature. You see the biblical doctrine that explains it goes in the world today, that it is the fall of man that brings about all the grief and the sorrow and the wickedness of man. And you say, how can a man be so evil? How can he do these things to other people? How can he shake his fist in the face of God and then say there is no God? How can that be? And it's because man has a fall, and he's evil, and he has sin in his life, and he's a tendency toward evil. James asks a question. He says in James chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, "Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" And the answer is, of course not. It's either sweet or it's either bitter. It can't be both. Can't be at the same time bitter and sweet at the same time. And yet look at there's a fountain that does do that. And that fountain is man's heart. And he can give forth sweet and bitter at the same time, almost in the same breath. He can go into church and he can sit and worship and praise God and worship God. And he can walk out that door and take the name of the Lord in vain and curse God and his neighbor. How can that be? And it is because of that fallen nature. And we all have that tendency, every one of us. And so then this wonderful Lord tells us the only answer is man had a fall, and we have to do something about that fall. In the Garden of Eden, man fell, and consequently his nature is distorted. It's deranged. It's depraved. It's destined for hell. Because it's evil, it's committed sins, and God will not one speck of sin into heaven, not one bit. There won't be any loopholes, and there won't be any fancy lawyers to get you in. If there's one speck of sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's what Jesus tells us. And so, look at what Jesus did. He came to seek and to save that soul. That's what he did. That's really the reason Jesus ever came to this messed up world in the first place. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." We know why he came. He didn't come just to be a great teacher or to heal the sick or to help the blind or all of these wonderful things and feed the poor. He didn't come for that. He did that. But the main reason he came, he told us what he came for, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a beautiful picture of that where the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven and he looks into the fold and he counts his sheep and there's one and there's two and there's three and there's 10 and there's 40 and there's 90 and there's 99. One is missing. And the good shepherd could have said, "I have 99 of my 100. That's good enough for me." And that might have been good enough for a regular shepherd, but not the good shepherd. Jesus, the wonderful Christ, and you know the story. Aridy Sankey puts it so well. This is the way Sankey tells it and sings it. "There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, But one was out in the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road is rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. It was that dear Lord Jesus Christ that came for your soul and my soul and everybody's soul. And that's why we have the Christian Worship Hour. And that's why we preach. And that's why we work at this thing for almost 40 years. Is because you have a soul and Jesus Christ loves your soul. You know, Jesus asked two great questions when he was here. And he had questions about the soul. They're often treated as one question, but they're two different questions. The first part, he says, the first question is, what shall a man profit if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Well, anybody can answer that. And the profit out of which an exchange for our soul for the world comes to zero, nothing. Then the second question, Jesus, is quite different. Jesus did not say, what shall a man take in exchange for his soul? Jesus knew, and you and I know, what people will take for their soul. Why, they'll take a dollar or two. They'll take a glimmer of popularity. They'll take the shade of fame and glory. They'll take a little time of sinful pleasure. Just that little they'll sell their soul. Jesus knew that. But what Jesus really asked was not what shall a man take for his soul, but what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. In other words, Jesus is saying when a man has wronged his soul, defiled his soul, betrayed his soul, when he's given it away, how can he get it back? And that's what Jesus is asking. When you've lost your soul, who's there to go to get it back for you? Will the world's great statesmen get it back for you? Will the astronauts get it back from you? Will the scientists get it back for you? Will the philosophers get it back for you? No, sir, not a single one of them can answer that. If a man loses his soul, who is going to get it back? And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, all of your sorrow and your tears and your repentance and your prayers and your works and your agony, none of these can bring back your precious soul. It's gone. It's lost. Only the Lamb of God slain upon the old or good cross can bring back that soul. And so God gave his Son, and this Lord Jesus Christ gave up all of heaven. And he came, was born of the Virgin, walked among men, and so that he could have a body, because God can't die. A spirit can't die. And God as a spirit, Jesus as a spirit, couldn't die. And he had to have a body. And he grew a body. And in that body, he went to the cross. And there he was. And he paid for your soul. Oh, my God, we would have no way but the straight way to hell if it wasn't for Jesus. And so he comes, and we need to see the value of the soul. Guard your soul, my friend. Right now, take it to Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come right now, this very moment, and pray. And you just can pray and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And He knows that, but He wants you to confess it. And I'm a poor lost sinner, dear Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. I was 10 years old. A country boy, we lived so far out in the sticks, you wouldn't believe it. We were so far out in the sticks that the sun set before it got to our house. Can you believe that? Didn't know up from down. I thought a football coach had four wheels. That's all I knew. But I knew there was a Jesus, and He died for my sins. And I prayed, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come and save me from my sin. 10 years old, what sins that I had. I hadn't even got started sinning yet. And there I am confessing what I was a child, an innocent child, and Jesus came into my heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, you open your life, you open your heart, I will come in, and I will sup with you, I'll fellowship with him, and you're saved forever. So I want to tell you something right now, friend. The devil wants your soul. He wants to have your soul in hell with him. And there are multitudes right now that he got in his control and multitudes in hell, but he wants more, more, more. And he wants your soul. And Jesus said that the broad road led to destruction, didn't he? And the narrow road, there were few that find it. And so the devil is having great success, and he's working now to get to the multitudes in the world today know not Christ. And we need to pray that God will deliver them, bring them to the light. The devil wants your soul. And you know the angels are interested in your soul. Did you ever know that? They want you to be brought back to God. They rejoice when a soul is restored, when a soul comes back, when a soul is born again. They're watching you right now, and they're praying that you'll make that prayer, and they'll be rejoicing in the angels of God in heaven if you turn to the Lord. And I suspect that all over the world, there's a lot of people turning right now. That's what I believe. The devil wants your soul. The angels are interested in your soul. And Jesus wants your soul. He shed his precious blood for your soul. And that and he suffered on that tree as no soul could ever suffer. And he did it not because he had sins, because he had none of his own. But he took the sins of the world. And there on the cross, he paid it in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Come now, God says. Let us reason. Though their sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You come to Jesus. Dear friend, don't let anything stop you from coming to Jesus. I beg of you, take care of that soul. Let nothing, your life, your home life, your business life, your social life, your hidden secret life that nobody knows about. Let nothing come into your life. Let nothing keep you from Jesus. And oh, that beautiful thing within you, that immortal soul, that soul that will never die, will live forever in heaven or hell. That soul you can give to Jesus and commit that soul to the Lord Jesus, that wonderful, wonderful Savior. So I want to ask you, have you committed your soul to the faithful Redeemer? Just St. Paul said, wrote to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He says, Paul says, he isn't saying, I hope, I've done my best. I have people tell me all the time, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'll say, are you going to go to heaven? I hope so. Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Well, I hope so. I think so. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, one person said. St. Paul says, I know I'm going to heaven. I know whom I have believed. And what did it say in John 5:24? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it the minute you believe, the minute you accept Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. And then Jesus goes on, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you've passed from death to life, spiritual life. And so today, I know that the Holy Spirit is calling you. I know he's calling many. I know that he's doing his work. I've given the word the best way I know how. You say, well, it wasn't very good preaching. Well, I knew that before I came. But you got the word, didn't I? I got it out. And so you know, now you know. What do you know? You know you have a soul. You know that that soul is going to live forever. That soul is the most precious thing you have. Jesus left heaven. He robbed, God robbed heaven. He gave the best thing he had in heaven was his son. He gave his son and he came to the cross and he died for our sins. I know that. And I know that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that Jesus told us that he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. But, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's all you do with Jesus. It's not any rituals. It's not baptism, circumcision, whatever you want to do. It's not living the right kind of a life. It's just, do you have Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So how do I have Jesus? You ask him into your heart. And you men, I think of the men so many times because it seems like the women always come first. I've been preaching for 72 years now. I can only remember 3 times where the man came before the wife. It's always the wife comes first. And I don't know why I think they're smarter or their heart is more tender or they got intuition or something's happening. But you men, you old men, you can come. You know, the Germans have a saying, the young can die, but the old must die. And so God help you to open your heart. And you see, I don't know, I've never prayed before. Well, just don't pray then. Just talk to Jesus. That's all. I had a man the other day, about a year ago now, I guess. I talked to him. He prayed. And he asked Jesus to forgive him for his sins. He just, in his own words, says, I've done things wrong. I've sinned. I ask you to come into my heart. And when he got done, you know, instead of saying amen, you know what he said? Goodbye. Well, so what? Fine. And goodbye. God doesn't care. Don't get fancy. You don't need the thee and the thous. Just in your own simple way. I was 10 years old. What did I know? Zero. And I knew enough that I was a sinner. I knew that I wanted Jesus. And you can pray that prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I confess I'm a sinner and save you. Now, if you do that, you write to us. And we'll send you some literature. We send literature. It doesn't matter where in the world it is. We sent some to Spain not long ago. And it tells exactly the steps. It got the scripture verses. And it just tells you exactly all the promises of God. And you can accept Jesus Christ. You can be born again. And then we'll send you some literature to help you get started reading the Bible. Read the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John, but it doesn't matter. Read where you want to read. But first of all, you have to have the Savior. Now, when you write to us, you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can write to us, or you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And we'll use that money to carry on the gospel. And you can be a partner with us in bringing people to Jesus. And you can be with us as we go to the shut-ins and as we go to those in prison. And you can help us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I want to have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loves us. He loves it. It doesn't matter what the sin might be. Maybe there's somebody right now and they're saying, I want a Jesus in my life, but I've done so many wicked things, I'm scared to ask him. I can't ask him, I'm too wicked. And St. Paul says that he was the chief of sinners, and God saved our chief, and he can save anybody. Just come. Don't get cleaned up. Just come. Dear Jesus, we pray that there'll be multitudes praying that prayer. We believe that right now all over the world, people are asking you into their heart. And then we want to pray, Lord, for the shut-ins, the people that can't get out, the people who are bedridden, maybe they can't, are in a wheelchair. Maybe they can't travel. Maybe they're lonely and all by themselves. And I would just pray that you'll help them to know that you love them and that you are there. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you always keep your word. And so, dear Jesus, comfort those people right now and bring blessing into their heart and just help them to lean on you and find rest and help. And so we just pray and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to thank all of you for opening your house for us or your home. Some of you open your truck. We hear from people who are riding in their trucks. And now these farmers, they got such fancy tractors and all, they got radios in their tractors feeding their sheep and their horses, their cattle. And they write and said, we're listening while we're out there working. Wherever you are, we just thank you for opening the door. And just pray for us as we pray for you. Because I just believe like we're in the last days. It just seems like everything is so evil and so wrong that Jesus is going to come in great power. And we have to be ready to meet him. And you're never ready to meet him unless you're born again. And you're not born again unless you pray that prayer. Just your own way. Talk to Jesus. Ask him into your heart and life. And so we're just going to be looking for your letters. We're going to be praying for you as you pray for us. And may everything we do be to the honor and glory of God in heaven. We love him so much. We want to honor him every way we can. And that's what we're all doing together, worshiping and honoring Jesus Christ, Son of the living God.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.